Good afternoon. It's me, Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host and producer of ArtSpeak Radio. Thank you for tuning in today, following the lovely and talented Mark Manning, my radio husband. Today we've got several guests in the studio, plus we've got some live music. Let me tell you who's in who's on the docket this morning. We've got Marianne Gatchel, Dean Kuby, Annie Robb from the Whispering Prairie Press, and we also have our good friend Jason Bice, who's a singer, songwriter, and a photographer. He's been performing since the mid-90s, so he's also, like I mentioned, he's going to perform live for us here in the studio, and that's always a wonderful gift to our listeners. So let's start off with Jason Bice. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, how are you doing?
Let's see. Oh. There you go.
There we are. Hi, there I am. Hi.
Hi, honey. As I mentioned, Jason is a singer, songwriter, and a photographer, and you've been performing since the mid-90s, right?
Yeah. I picked up guitar when I was 16. I had an interest in it when I was 12, but my fingers weren't big enough for the guitar.
Yeah. Ukulele, I'm telling you, kid.
Yeah, I should have started on ukulele. So.
But you've been in several bands, including Ashley Girl, Save the Jays, and the other, Esme?
Esme. Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. Ashley Girl and Esme, that was with Michael Smith, actually, from Imbird.
Uh-huh.
And then we had, I believe it was a cellist in Ashley Girl, and a good friend of ours, Jennifer, in Esme, and that name came from a J.D. Salinger short story or something. It's the name of a cat.
Terrific. Yeah. Terrific. So in all of that, you're a photographer. Mm-hmm. Did you start out as a photographer, or did it sort of find you, or how did you begin?
Well, I don't call myself a photographer. It's strange to hear that or get that title. It started with my family. We always kept photo albums.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a big part of influencing my interest in,
sure,
in photography and how it captures these moments in time and go back and revisit them. I was always thought of myself as more of like a musician and actor. Mm-hmm. I studied theater at Avila, so thought about going into acting.
Uh-huh.
But I took a photography course there. And learned a lot on a 35mm.
Yeah.
So then basically from there, I just found an interest in Instagram. I would go to open mics and play, and I would take pictures of the musicians playing so that they would have something to show for their performance. Because I noticed as a musician playing out, 70% of the whole package is your image, you know, and getting that out there. So,
and lately, especially with this past weekend, you do take a lot of photographs of bands and that.
Yeah.
But let me talk about your time at Avila.
Yeah.
So about what years were you there?
90 to 95.
Okay. Yeah. So did they still have dark rooms and taught basic?
Yeah.
You know, because that seems like it's such a rare thing to see at dark rooms in colleges anymore.
Yeah, we had to learn how to load the canister in the dark
and develop your film and all of that.
Yeah.
Was that something that appealed to you, or is it just sort of, you wanted something a little bit more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I kind of considered maybe doing, photography for movies or something, since I was into acting at the time.
Yeah.
So always trying to pair something, that I want to do, enjoy,
I was thinking about the whole process of photography and being in the dark room, that it's so different than, taking a photograph from your phone, because at the time, there was all the developer had to be the right temperature,
right.
It's very light sensitive, the papers,
the
enlarger, and then you had just a whole lot of lenses, and filters to choose from, too.
Right.
Did you dabble in any of that?
Yeah, I borrowed a girlfriend at the time. Her mom let me borrow her old 35mm. And honestly, people have like William Saunders of Akota has handed me a camera before and said, here, try this out. You know, I honestly could not work the thing. I couldn't figure it out. I had forgotten the f-stop and the aperture and the speed and, you know, because on an iPhone, you just point and click, you know?
Yeah. You know, for me, you know, when I was learning about photography, it's such a process, and there's such sort of a magical quality to developing, you know, photographs in a dark room, or, you know, playing around with f-stops and, you know, the filters and all that. It's sort of a lost art, don't you think?
A lost art. Oh, absolutely. You know, really, I don't know of many professional photographers in the city. I can't think of, not that I know them all, but, you know, I can't think of any offhand that are just shooting solely on 35 millimeter.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has pretty much gone to digital. You know, so
it's a different world. Yeah. Mr. Boyd was managed a camera store here in town back when, and he used to shoot photographs, and it was film.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got one shot, and that's it, kid.
That's the best way to learn, I think. I think everyone should learn that way if they have an interest in photography, if people have an interest in developing that career. You absolutely should know how to do it, you know, how it was done from the very beginning, you know, with the development and learning about the light entering the lens and what all that means.
Well, do you think kids these days, do you think, again, that's a lost art, but do you think there's sort of like over that and they just want, you know, that
It's probably going to be like
image.
Vinyl, you know?
I
don't know. Yeah. Maybe it'll be like a kind of the hip thing, you know? I don't think anything ever really goes away. You know, especially the foundation, you know, that's, I think it will always be there. And I'm interested to know if anyone's listening right now who knows of a photographer who does 35 millimeter only in the city or kind of specializes in that. That'd be cool if they posted a name.
Well, yeah, for portraiture or for just in general.
Yeah, because it would be neat to know a pioneer or somebody who's keeping the art alive.
Now, I never dabbled with the color photography of you know, printing, you know, from a dark room. That was just too much science for me. I did a lot of black and white.
I just did black and white. Yeah. I never did color.
Until I discovered Polaroids. And then those were fun. You know, to manipulate the image and that sort of thing.
I never learned how to do that. I just learned how to kind of put it under my arm and warm it up. You know?
So. kind of
flap it. I don't know why we shake it. Get the chemicals all evened out on.
Well, you know, that's something that's missing with the iPhone. You don't have to do that, but you know, there's so many applications. I don't know if that's the word that, you know, enhance the cameras on the phones that you can get sort of that vintage feel or that sort of Polaroid, the Instagram sort of thing.
Exactly.
Does that appeal to you?
Yeah, it does. I don't utilize it as much as I used to. Because with the photography that a lot of people see me do now, the live music photography that, I guess I've gotten known for, it started here at KKFI on Signal to Noise number 510.
Barry.
I was just talking to Barry about it. Yeah.
Our friend Barry Lee.
And band Till Willis was playing, and they were going to play live. And I just wanted to come down and listen to them because I had actually opened for them a year before.
Wow.
And I really like their sound. They give a really big concert stadium sound. And Till is just a really great songwriter, and they're all great guys.
Sure.
So I asked if I could come down, and they said, yeah, sure. And when I got here, after helping them load in and all that, you know, they said, well, thanks for coming down to take pictures. And I was like, wow, I'm on, you know. So this is it, you know. And so, you know, I basically standing in the room just on the other side of you. What do we call that room? That's in
KKFI studio.
Yeah, the studio.
Like the waiting,
on air studio,
and we do our
it was in that
answer
room.
The phones in the
it was in that room
too.
When I looked down, I was developing with Photoshop. Huh. I was just shooting with my iPhone 4S, and I had an app called it's called PS Express, Photoshop Express. Huh. Had it on my phone, and I'd always kind of played around with it. Barry had mentioned something about really liking color, and so I came up with this, I call it my formula, you know, but it was basically just utilizing like brightness, contrast, sharpening, and vibrance.
See, those dark room days paid off.
Yeah. And it all happened in that dark room. And then I was posting on the fly and, you know, it turned out to be this amazing, awesome experience. And what made it more amazing is that Barry just really complimented me, said I have a good eye. He really liked the way I use color. And that just really encouraged me to I wrote him and I said, I would be more than willing to come down and do it again.
Awesome.
Volunteer, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, any KKFI event you want to go to, just let me know and you can go and shoot it. So
terrific.
That ended up in me going to see Dolls on Fire, Philistines, and Pedal Jets, who's the first band I ever saw live in Kansas City, and actually getting to meet those guys and talk to them, which was cool. But, it marks 10-year anniversary.
Well, every time I turn around, you're there. And, you know, as long as it's music or, you know, some sort of happening, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that, again, you're a huge component to KKFI with, you know, your photographs and all that. You get around a lot. And the city just lends itself to so much happening all at once.
So much is happening right now. This started, you know, well, it's been going on for years, but... you know, Mark Manning, I sat down with him on this January 1st, 2014 at Broadway Cafe. And I had expressed some interest on being in the show and playing some open mic musician music, you know. And Mark just gave me this rundown of everything that was going on with Midwest Music Foundation, Folk Alliance, you know, just all the wonderful things that are beginning to happen in Kansas City with music. And so it took me a whole year later to really get involved, and now just actually want to get back out there with my own music and get something going, you know.
Well, you know, and so you've really kind of just been doing this about a year, more or less, with the different bands and that, because you have a ton of photos out there on Facebook and elsewhere. So
in the last three months, I've accumulated probably about... I've probably taken at least 10,000 photos, I wouldn't doubt. You know, like at Folk Alliance, I think I came away with 5,000.
Outstanding.
So,
So do people ask you for a, I won't say a copy, but, you know, to forward you the image, a JPEG, and that sort of thing?
Oh, well, or usually what I do is I'll post to the event. Early on, I kind of started out with posting to the event and then sharing some more to my page. And I've been experimenting with this, but essentially, you know, I'll post to the event and then do a little album maybe. It kind of varies.
Nice.
And so I still try to just, at least with the stuff that I'm putting on the event page and then sharing to my own page, I'm trying to put out the best possible images, at least three to five, that they could use, you know, just by clicking and saving, or you know,
you're recording very well, and I do want to mention that, you know, to our listeners, that you did bring your guitar in, and that you will be performing for the afternoon stomp at Coda Saturday, June 20th, from 3 to 4, and that's located at 1744 Broadway. Is it new music? Is it music that you've written?
Yeah, these are songs that they've been in my arsenal, let's say, you know, for a while. Yeah. Some have been in there for 15, you know, maybe 20 years. And then I have some that are from the last year or so. Yeah.
Well, if you want to grab your guitar, I'll get the mic on and I'll just kind of schlep my way through this while you get ready. So for people who have just tuned in, we're going to listen to Jason Bice, who's a singer, songwriter, and a photographer. I'm going to call you a photographer.
Okay, that's fine.
And he's going to perform some original music for us here live in the studio.
All right. So this song is called Video Guy. What you gonna do about it, baby? Said you come in your car, and the world is heating up tonight. Not that cold outside. I don't know if I'll survive. I'm nothing but a video guy.
nothing but a video guy. You got me all wrapped up in your lens tonight. Nothing but a video guy. I'm nothing but a video guy. Nothing but a video lie. You got me all wrapped up in your lens tonight. Nothing but a video guy. Oh, now you tell me which pose. Would you send me text? How to do it? If I sit by the phone all night, should I surprise you? Or get right to it? I'm nothing but a video guy. Nothing but a video guy. You got me all wrapped up in your lens tonight. Nothing but a video guy. I'm nothing but a video guy. Nothing but a video guy. You got me all wrapped up in your lens tonight. Nothing but a video guy. Now do you dream when you look at the stars at night? Do you dream when you see those big bright stars? I'm nothing but a video guy. Nothing but a video guy. You got me all wrapped up in your lens tonight. Nothing but a video guy. I'm nothing but a video guy. Nothing but a video guy. You got me all wrapped up in your lens tonight. Nothing but a video guy.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Great.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really lovely.
Thanks. That's I guess I'm known as a video guy. You can call me the video guy instead of a photographer.
So, do you have, let me see. You will be at Coda June 20th. So will you be performing all new music, or is it just a variety of work overall?
Yeah, it's a variety of my original music, uh-huh. And I'll be playing with Ashley Raines, and it's just really phenomenal. It just has a new album out, so excited about that. I've also been, in the studio recording, excuse me. That said. Rob Nold Audio, he's just been a tremendous help to me musically and even spiritually, I guess, just helping me get grounded, find focus. David Fiennes is in the studio with us today, and I want to give him a mention because he gave me a lift down here, and I really am thankful for that. And, and David's a phenomenal singer-songwriter and has a song out, In God's Name, that you can find on SoundCloud, on his SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. My music's not up yet.
I was going to ask, is there a website that people can go to maybe, just
my
sample?
My Facebook page, if they like the Jason Bice band music or Jason Bice music, on Facebook, it definitely will be appearing there.
You're starting to play out and about more around town because you recently played at the Riot Room in March, right? Or am I just making things up?
I think you're making that up. Well, yeah, I don't remember that gig.
Must have been some other Jason Bice.
There could be. There is one out there.
I've heard that your music, your sound is compared to Wilco in Billy Bragg.
Yeah, that's...
do you like that?
Yeah, I really like that. That's an honor. I don't know what to say about that.
Also play harmonica.
Yeah,
or am I making that up?
No, not making that up.
I'm a huge liar these days.
I misplaced my briefcase, though, with my harmonicas. I don't know where they are, so I'll have to get some more.
So will your audience, will you be sharing that with the audience, some of your work with the harmonica and that sort of thing?
And recently, this was really exciting, Brody Buster came in and laid down a harmonica on... a track that's going to be on the EP called Fire Ant. Got it in two takes. And, Brody is just, he's such a down to earth, good person, know? And so, it just was really a joy to have him come in and, and hit it on the first time and then say, well, let me just do it again. And then just totally, like, you know, I posted the picture that Rob took of me where I'm just, it's sheer joy. That's on my music page. That was when seeing Brody just, you know, like, wow. So
that's
it's
amazing.
Just been an amazing, cool experience.
You know, if you would like to share another song with our listeners,
love
we'd love to hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that'd be great. This is one, it's actually a newer one, I guess, within the last year, that's called Independence. And this is, I want to say thanks to John Keck for paying attention to the song and really telling me, hey, that's a really good song. I really like that. Yeah, John's
I met
great,
him last
cool
week.
Guy.
Yeah, I think he was on Mark's program last week. That's how.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was in the studio last week. So, So I'll send this one out to John Keck.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Your father was a working man, had another family in another land. Your mother was independent, never needing a man or a lending hand. I raised you right in independence. My father was a working man, had another woman in another land, and my mother was independent, never needing a man or a lending hand. Raised me right in independence. And love isn't cruel, you isn't blind, it just takes time. The more you get to know me, I'll stop standing in front of me, and sometimes it's hard to see. We were made to be free. Found a way to make it laugh, and you had your struggles, I had mine, and we both went astray. Thought I'd give it a shot. I sent you a text, you wanted to talk, and I told you everything I needed to say. We helped each other find independence.
Beautiful. Another beautiful tune.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Bruce. Jason,
no,
I'm sorry.
Call me Bruce. That's okay.
Well, Mark's got his camera right in front of my face. It's like throwing me off because now we've turned the camera on you.
Yeah, I know. It's
it's a little upsetting, isn't it?
It is. But here we go. Mark's getting even now. Yeah.
I thought we got rid of you last hour.
So
I do want to remind listeners, Saturday, June 20th from 3 to 4, you'll be performing for the Afternoon Stomp at Coda at 1744 Broadway.
Yeah.
So
cool.
That will be something to look forward to.
I'd love to do one more. I have time to do one?
Absolutely. Honey, let me get off my mic.
One more in here, you know.
You do it.
But before I do that,
sure.
I just want to say that Casey Roush just recorded
That's
Little
right.
Crow,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I hope I said that right. Did I say that right, David? I even said that to her the other night and was totally embarrassed because I'm looking it up right now. Casey, if you're listening, I'm going to get it right because people need to know about this song. Yeah, This Little Crow.
The one written for her daughter who's graduating.
I always think, is it This Little Bird, This Little Crow?
Yeah.
But if you go to Rob Nold Audio or you go to Casey Roush Music, she released that song to help raise money for her daughter's college fund, which I think is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's $3 for the download, but that all goes to her daughter's college fund. And what better way, you know, than to support your child than through your passion, your music, and her career.
Absolutely.
You know, and so... I was really impressed by that, and I love the song.
Well, play for us, mister.
Yeah, I can't play that one, but, you know.
Well, you can play whatever you want.
Okay, good. This one goes out to Tom Shaka, who's an artist in Kansas City. He's done the Sideshow Serenade art, and I wrote this about one of his caricatures, or Omar.
Okay.
So this is Omar He Knows. All the stars you can see are restless tonight, wondering if they're really part of the Milky Way. Hovering above Egyptian sand, He knows. Omar, He knows. The third eye watching you and me, a kissing on the fold-out bed. His bow tie is tight, it's neat, He knows. Omar, He knows. He knows. Omar, He knows. And Thomas focuses on a scene and all the colors in between. The art he shares with you and me, we've come to know so intimately. He knows. He knows. He knows. Omar, He knows. He knows. Omar, He knows. He knows. Omar, He knows.
Bless your heart. Thank you for the gift of music, Jason. Really appreciate you coming down today.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you for all you do for the community and, you know, for KKFI. Well, I love your show.
Oh, thank you. You know what? It's easy because we have a thriving, chaotic, crazy, wonderful community of musicians and performers you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much. We'll keep up. You're
looking at your photographs and listening to your music. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We'll be right back after this. Well, I'm having a little bit of problems with my...
You want me to play some
transitional? Yeah, would you play some transitional music? That would be terrific.
Yeah, we can do that.
I don't know. I just, you know, this technology thing.
See.
I'm used to my 8 tracks.
KKFI on the radio, having a little bit of trouble, a little technical difficulty with the show, but we're going to get an engineer. He's going to come right in. Look at the board, say, why didn't you plug it in? This is all live. This is all live on KKFI, and this is all live. Well, I'm looking out on 39th and Main, and everything looks beautiful today. Yeah, the sun is shining, the trees look green, and the grass is green. And there's a cool breeze, and everything is green. It's alright, it's alright, at the KKFI. Now, the next folks are coming in the studio, and they're going to talk about the Prairie Press. Beautiful things, they publish poetry and stories and all that good stuff. We're gonna listen to them. We hope you stay tuned in, and Maria's coming right back. Here she is.
Beautiful. I wrote that same song this morning. Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much, my friend.
All right.
You know, that's live radio for you. So next up, we have our guest from the Whispering Prairie Press. We have in the studio with us today art editors Marianne Getchell, Dean Kuby, and Annie Rabe. Right?
Rob,
okay. From the Whispering Prairie Press. They're with Kansas City Voices that produces a periodical of writing and art. Whispering Prairie Press was founded in 1991, and it evolved out of the Kansas City Writers Group. Now, the press began by publishing anthologies of local writers, and it has evolved to publish writers and artists from around the world. And now you're in your 13th year of publishing Kansas City Voices. Congratulations. That's
great. Thank you.
Thanks. And the organization has grown to attract a wide audience and publish a diverse body of work with strong voices and artistic vision. And their mission is to promote and encourage artists and writers. The whole thing is carried out by an entirely volunteer organization, kind of like us at KKFI. So the Kansas City Voices is an annual publication of poetry, prose, and visual art that comes out of that Whispering Prairie Press. So you look for artists and writers with unique viewpoints and strong visions. The pieces are compiled into an 80-page advertisement-free glossy magazine, which is beautiful. It mixes art, poetry, and prose into a unique compilation. So welcome, Marianne, Dean, and Annie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, there's... I believe you were on last year, and we had talked a bit about Art of KC Voices at the Leedy Volkes Art Center, and now here it is. Tell our listeners what that's all about, would you please?
Yeah, we're very excited because in the 13 years that we have been publishing Kansas City Voices magazine, we actually have not had a live show for the artists. So with the help of Annie and Dean, we have pulled together a curated show. It is consists of artists from the last three volumes, and they are primarily Kansas City, with their entirely Kansas City area artists. So it'll be 18 artists, and the show opens this Friday in the back gallery at Leedy Volkes down in the Crossroads.
Mm-hmm. You were showing me some of the images, and it's a very diverse collection of original, beautiful artwork.
Yeah, so it is a variety from paintings to photography, one three-dimensional piece. Well, actually, two three-dimensional pieces. Very eclectic mix of artwork. And it also ranges from people who have been in gallery shows often around town, Alan Chow being one of those, and Dean Kuby himself, yeah. Two artists that have never been published or shown, and Linda Yates will be in this show. She's very excited about that.
Terrific. For our listeners' information, that is Art of Casey Voices at the Leedy Volkas Art Center. That opens this Friday from 6 to 9 at the Leedy Volkas Center, which is located at 2012 Baltimore here in Kansas City, in the Crossroads. So, Dean, what was the thought behind pulling the work together? Was there a particular theme, or was it just sort of the best of the best?
I would say basically just the best of the best. We had a wide variety of artwork that was submitted, and so there really wasn't a theme. We just kind of basically just kind of looked at the variety of all the works that were created, and just kind of chose like the best of the best, and what would best represent the show?
Yeah, because it's the imagery that you shared with me, very different. Some a little bit more abstract in that. So it's a pretty good range of work, that you've brought together for this exhibition.
Right, I totally agree. I mean, there's a lot of people I've never even, like, once we find out who the names were, there's a lot of people I never really even heard of or even had a chance of seeing their work. So that was really super exciting for me.
Yeah.
So, it's just, discovering new talent or other people doing things in the city.
So. Yeah. How did you find your group of artists?
It is interesting. It's basically word of mouth, and the artists hear about our publication that comes out once a year. Friends tell friends. They come to the website, and it is amazing, I will say, in the last 3 years, how the quality of the art is just upped. I mean, it is the pieces that we get are just exquisite. So that part was easy, finding exquisite artists. One of the things we wanted to do with this show is truly just highlight Kansas City at this point. Because remember, you mentioned that our artists come from all over the world.
Yeah, that's right, for the publication.
For the first show, we wanted to have Kansas City artists. And so we did. It's gorgeous.
There was a lot of planning involved in this, too, wasn't there? Because being the first...
It was a lot.
Yeah, because we had talked when you were on last year, like I said, about the show as it was sort of being planned out.
Yeah, I know that Dean and Annie can jump in, but curating a show of disparate and eclectic art was a really interesting process, as far as you're not quite sure how it's going to come into you once you know how it's going to be framed and whether it be held together.
It was a pretty hands-on experience making the selection for the show. We all sat down together a few times and paged through the magazine and looked at everything and sort of wrote names down and met with artists and did studio visits. So when we came out with an artist in mind, we were really confident that they would provide something really awesome for the show. And it's really exciting that our first show is at Leedy Volkas, which is such a hub in Kansas City.
Absolutely.
That we are not only having this for the first time, we're putting these artists in a place where they're really going to be recognized.
Yeah, especially, right there in the middle of the Crossroads. And you're going to be hitting First Fridays twice, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. May 1st Friday and June 1st Friday.
Two chances to see it.
I really like to call out Erin Woodworth from Leedy Volkas. She has been incredible. I had not worked with her before. Dean had. But just once we had decided who our artists were going to be, she was just invaluable with helping us, even arrange the pieces and just really that last step of curating the show of what is it going to look like on the walls.
It is a tough job, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot more involved than what you think.
Yeah.
And also, with all the work being so different and very, I guess, lack of better words, eclectic mix.
Yeah.
How does that all kind of fit together?
Right.
And what is that flow going to be, and how do they kind of interact with each other?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to take a real quick break from ArtSpeak Radio right now with some underwriting, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the curating, because it's a tough job.
This is Wilson, and I'm one of the newest volunteers here at 90.1 FM KKFI. If you would like to get involved in volunteering, go ahead and call Bill at 816-994-7869 or go to kkfi.org/volunteer. Thanks for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, your community radio station.
Tiffany Proant, Caregiver Fellow at the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, has been a full-time caregiver for her husband, Jeff, since his return home from Iraq in 2010. For the past 4 years, she has volunteered countless hours each week as an advocate for veterans and their caregivers. Hear what she has to say about navigating life after combat on this Wednesday's All Souls Forum at 6 p.m. right here on KKFI.
On the next Sprouts, journalist Elizabeth Arnold goes to the far reaches of Alaska, to a village with one of the smallest carbon footprints in the United States, but feels the impacts of global warming most dramatically. Thursday at noon.
My will is easy to decide, for there is nothing to divide. My kin don't need to fuss and moan. Moss does not cling to a rolling stone.
Joe Hill's Last Will with John McCutcheon. This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday morning at 5.
I would to ashes it reduce.
And we're back. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I'm in the studio with members of the West Whispering Prairie Press, talking about Art of Kansas City Voices, the terrific exhibition of art, of local art here in Kansas City. So I want to welcome back Marianne Getchell, Dean Kuby, and Annie Robb. Hello.
Hello.
Terrific. So at the break, we were talking a bit about curating and, you know, trying to place diverse work all in a gallery setting. Is there a story that begins to evolve when you put the work up on the walls, or do you have something sort of in your mind?
Well, it's kind of like how we curate the magazine itself. Every year we get so much work, and between the three separate categories, art, poetry, and prose, you know, we have three editors in each, so nine editors total. And what we end up with at the end is actually something that can be fit together, despite mm-hmm. our not really communicating about it.
Yeah.
So in curating the magazine, when we're putting a piece of poetry next to a photograph or a piece of prose next to a sculpture, we end up with this sort of overarching theme and this story that was pretty unintentional, and then when we actually see it published, we can look at it and mm-hmm. sort of maybe mm-hmm. assign, you know, this arbitrary narrative to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Curating the show was a little bit like that. We had, in the last 3 years, maybe 450
perhaps people that have sent their artwork in to get into Kansas City Voices. While I've been there, I mean, it's pretty predictable. It's about 150 pieces each year that people send in.
Wow.
So from there, we only have 16 to 18 pieces mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we can put into each mm-hmm. volume. So what we did when we decided, well, it's going to be three volumes. It's going to be the last three, including mm-hmm. this year's mm-hmm. upcoming mm-hmm. volume.
When will that come out?
That will be launched to the public in October.
Okay.
And so what we had to do from that is to say, okay, here are the artists, here are the Kansas City artists, mm-hmm. and then from there, how are we going to balance the different mediums? Because none of us wanted all photographs or all paintings or all 3D. So from there, you begin to curate the artists that you feel will work well together.
I think there is a nice theme in the show, maybe despite our intentions. We have, of course, we've got some figurative work. Some of it is a little bit more painterly and abstract. Some of it is a little bit more realistic, I guess. And then some landscapes, some really beautiful landscapes that sort of transcend the figurative notions or any sort of body relation. So it's maybe it's too early to say, but
that's never too early.
Yeah, it's never too early to say. But maybe some of the themes would be like being, you know, being your own person and then like sort of abandoning that and turning into something more like a landscape or more like something more organic. So again, it's hard to say because
That is interesting because yesterday when Erin was helping me lay these pieces out, she used those exact words as far as there are some pieces that are more organic, maybe more abstract, but very visceral and textural, and then there's pieces that really lend themselves towards the landscapes, as you said, though they're not in some cases as obvious, and then the figural. So it's interesting you said that because that's exactly how Erin described it.
Yeah, and every person's experience is going to be different because they're going to relate to the body, but then on another level, they're going to relate to these sort of washed out subliminal experiences.
Sure.
It's going to be interesting too because these artists have not been together before either.
And they don't even know each other.
They don't even know each other because remember they've only been in a book together.
Right. Well, and I not only you know with on the pages of your book, but I've seen them in separate galleries. You know,
exactly.
At any given time.
But so it'll be interesting. They're looking forward to meeting each other. Like I said, there's people that have never been published, never been shown to professional painters.
Now, just your gut feeling, even though the show hasn't technically opened till Friday, are you maybe thinking ahead, like, wow, you know, we had such a wealth of artists and images and work to choose from that, oh, let's start thinking about next year, or maybe, you know, are you beginning to sort of think about the future, you know, exhibitions with more artists involved?
Yeah, and actually, even just promoting the show in a different way to getting it out in front of more people as well. I think right now we're still, and this is basically my first year being a part of this, but it's still, you know, I don't know. I think every year it seems like more people are getting to know about it a little bit more. So
I agree.
Next year, you know, just focusing on other ways of marketing or promoting.
And it seems to lend itself in the gallery setting. It seems to lend itself to live reading and poetry and prose and that, you know, some sort of interactive with you know the work on the gallery walls.
Yeah, that's something we've done a lot of. I mean, up until now, we've only really had venues and spaces for an audience and for like a poetry reader or prose reader. Right. So maybe in the future, even if we're not doing this huge undertaking, like showing at First Fridays at the Lady Vocus, I think there will be more opportunities for artists and shows on a smaller scale, maybe during some of these poetry or prose readings.
Because the publication itself incorporates art and poetry and all that, do you have a submission date for your next periodical?
Submissions are open from,
I think it's December 15th, until March 15th. So we'll open again at the end of this year. But currently, there is a contest going on for writing and art, and it closes the end of June. So there is one piece left to go into Volume 13. Wow. So we're hoping to get some fabulous pieces. Last year was the first year for this contest. In fact, one of the contest winner has her piece in this show at Lady Vocus. So we hope that people will send their work in.
Now, Marianne, did you want to mention a little something aside from this with the Charlotte Street Foundation?
Yeah, as you know, I am also involved in Charlotte Street. And next Friday, there May 8th, there's going to be an opening at La Esquina Gallery, the title of that show. And it, too, is a show of many disparate artists. It's called Disturbances in the Field. It's at La Esquina. And it brings together several contemporary practitioners, artists, writers, and activists whose work hinges on moments that offer a break from the ordinary or the status quo. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few artists in that show as well.
Terrific.
And in Lady Vulcus, though, as we open Friday, four other shows are going to be opening at Lady Vulcus on Friday, which is really exciting.
It's a busy Friday.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff. Now, Annie, did you want to share a poem with us? Because it is National Poetry Month. And actually, this being the last Wednesday of the month, we move into May. So we're going to milk National Poetry Month for April for all it's worth.
I think every month should be National Poetry
Month. I agree.
Well, since I actually don't have access to the poems that were submitted this year, I want to read something that I got in the prose department, because I am the head editor of prose, and we saw a lot of great stuff. This kind of reads like a poem. It's called Stand By. Never open a show on Friday the 13th. Trust us, it will only end in tears. The stage manager is late. We don't know where the lighting designer is, and a light over the stage needs to be changed. The sound girl offers to help, but the crew guys are confident they've got this one. Besides, they say, you're not union. The sound girl is an intern. We're pretty sure we don't know her name, but she is useful. She knows where things are. The crew guys are less confident when the base of the genie lift bursts into flame while they are on it, up in the air. The sound girl knows where the fire extinguisher is. The manager walks on stage in the middle of this, the look on her face pure, I'll leave you alone for 5 minutes. All the doors are opened now, and we walk around flapping clipboards. The smoke must be cleared before the children arrive, dropped off and signed in at the door. Nothing says child safety is our goal, like the smell of electrocution. By now, we are all regretting having agreed to work a children's musical. The parents are a nightmare, and no one is allowed to swear. The stage manager has become the best at alternative cussing, probably because she swears the most. The conductor is also a nightmare, but no one is going to say that to his face. The children have practiced their blocking so much they can do it in their sleep. They can do it in the dark. They're doing it in the dark because the first five lights won't run. Neither will the next five. The light board has, gleefully and inexplicably, dumped every light cue it was ever assigned, like an unwanted blast over the side of a ship. So that's just a little bit of what will be published in the upcoming volume.
That's a nice little teaser. I do want to thank you so much, Marianne Getchell, Dean Kuby, Annie Robb from Whispering Prairie Press. Again, this weekend, Friday, May 1st.
May 1st.
I'm jumping ahead. The show opens at the Lady Vulcus Art Gallery. For more information,
yes, if they'd go to the website, that would be great, Lady Vulcus, and see us and the other shows that are going to be listed on that website.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend for First Friday. So thank you again so much for coming this afternoon. I want to thank my additional guest, Jason Bice, who provided us with some beautiful music and information about his photos. And, you know, he's just a really nice guy and made up some music right on the spot. So thank you to Jason Bice, Marianne Getchell, Dean Kuby, Annie Robb of Whispering Prairie Press. Next week, May 6th, my guests will include Petra and Kester Hornmarsh from the Kansas School for the Deaf. I also have a writer, Patrick Dobson, who's going to talk about his most recent novel that just came out. I want to remind listeners to stay tuned for Afternoon Jazz with Jeff Harshberger at 1. At 3 p.m., Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 o'clock, All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots. And 9 o'clock, The Classical Challenge. So you can find us on Facebook. You can turn us on online. We're streaming live at www.kkfi.org. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Honey, I'm coming home.
This is 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.